This morning we welcome to the campus and to this assembly President Joseph Fielding Smith, President of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles of the Church. President Smith is the son of President Joseph F. Smith, 6th President of the Church, and grandson of Hiram Smith, Patriarch to the Church and brother of the Prophet Joseph Smith. Brother Smith is an outstanding scriptorian and writer. He is author of a score of widely read volumes on the theology and history of the church. He has a keen interest in athletic activities. He's a former baseball, handball, and tennis player, and lends strong support to the recreational program for the youth of the church. He's interested in jet flying and has been named an honorary brigadier general in the Utah National Guard. In his assignments for the church, he travels widely and at 85 years of age carries a heavy schedule of writing, speaking, and administrative duties. Elder Smith is the father of 12 children, more than 50 grandchildren, and many great-grandchildren. He is accompanied by his charming wife, Jessie Evans Smith, who for many years was a prominent operatic singer. She is a member of the Tabernacle Choir, appears often as a soloist, and has made many recordings. President Smith will now address us.
I regret very much that I have to make one correction. I'm the father of 11 children. I'm sorry, I'm not the father of the 12th. In fact, I'd have been pleased if we had had what we call a baker's dozen. This is a wonderful sight. I doubt if it could be duplicated anywhere, in any school, in any country. But most of you who are here assembled, if not all, are here because you have advantages that you could not obtain in any other university, at least that I know of, on the face of the earth. You have the privilege here of receiving a balanced education. By that I mean an education where you obtain training, knowledge of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Where the fundamental truths of the gospel are taught. And these are of more importance than any other subjects that may be presented to you here, no matter how important other subjects may be. The Prophet Joseph Smith stated that if we're not drawing nearer unto God, we're approaching nearer to the devil. A balanced education in which the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ are emphasized is the only correct kind of education. This great university was established for that purpose, that the students might come and be trained in the fundamental truths pertaining to their salvation and the kingdom of God. That sort of an education is the most important. All other things are primary. A school without the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ is deficient. And that, of course, would apply to nearly every school everywhere, where they do not have the opportunities and the privileges which are given to you. In all your learning, you should get understanding of the fundamental truths pertaining to your salvation and the kingdom of God. The prophet Joseph Smith said, a man could not be saved in ignorance. Ignorance of what? Of the saving principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We came into this world having all former knowledge removed. There isn't a soul in this building that has not been in the presence of God, our eternal Father. At one time we were acquainted with Him. We came here into this world for several purposes. Two very important reasons that I would like to mention. First and foremost, to get tabernacles of flesh and bones for our eternal spirits, that we might go on to full perfection eventually in the kingdom of God. The other great purpose was to gain experience, to learn something that could not be learned only through mortality. Now, there were other important reasons. I could not name them all. Time would not permit if I could. But we came here to be tried, tested, to see if we could walk in the light and understanding of eternal truth, shut out from the presence of God, our eternal Father. This is a probationary state we're in. We're on probation, confined to this world. Here to partake of all the vicissitudes of mortality. To learn by our experiences and gain knowledge that could not be gained only through a course in mortality. The experiences we gain here could not be gained any other way. Only by coming in contact with all the problems, the trials, the temptations, as well as the joys of mortal life. It's essential, mortal life, to our eternal exaltation. We're in school. I don't mean in school in the Brigham Young University. We're in the school of mortal life, partaking of all the activities that come, which are given unto us, the trials, the temptations, the suffering, physical suffering, the coming in contact with evil, as well as good. I've had the question come to me many times. Why, when Satan was cast out of the garden, out of heaven, he was privileged to come down here to this world? To tempt the sons and the daughters of God. He was permitted to come down here to tempt us, to try us. We're on probation. To see whether, when we're shut out of the presence of our eternal Father, we'll be true and faithful to him. Now, the Lord never left man helpless to grope and find his way without any guidance. I remember reading what one man said, who was considered to be a very great character, speaking of this life. He says, the only guide we have is our reason. What a sad world this would be if the Lord had placed us here, had then withdrawn, left us all alone to work out our temporal salvation without any guidance, any inspiration, any knowledge, coming from the other side to help us, to direct us in the course we should take. What a dreadful world that would be if men were groping in spiritual darkness, trying to find their way with nothing to guide them but what they themselves might figure to be right and wrong. Mortality is just one step in our eternal advancement. It's a very short period. I don't know how long we lived in the spirit world. We may have been there a very long time, the way we would consider time. And considering eternity, we're here only for a moment. What's 100 years? Should a man live to be that long? In comparison to eternal life. And yet, this life is the most important, in my judgment, period in our existence. It's the period of testing. On probation, as Father Lehi put it, to prove ourselves, guided, of course, by the revelations of the Lord as He has sent His revelations to us, by the presence of angels, the coming of His own Son, by the inspiration that He gives through His servants, the prophets. The Lord has not left us to just grope to find our way. After Adam's transgression an angel came to him and to Eve and gave them instruction as to why they were here and what the Lord expected of them. And I think that Mother Eve has given us one of the clearest statements in regard to the fall, our purpose being here, and what it means. It's a very brief discourse. It's found in the book of Moses in chapter 5 and in the 11th verse. I'm going to read the 10th and 11th verses. And in that day, Adam blessed God and was filled and began to prophesy concerning all the families of the earth, saying, "Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgression my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy, and again in the flesh I shall see God." But Eve added something that's very, very beautiful. And Eve, his wife, heard all these things and was glad, saying, "Were it not for our transgression, we never should have had seed, and never should have known good and evil, and the joy of our redemption, and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient." Now she grasped this whole situation, the reason for mortality. We're here to be tried, tested, proved. And the Lord did not leave Adam to grope and find his way. Nor did he, any of his descendants, from that day until now. The Lord has always been ready to guide, to instruct, to bless. And he started Adam out on the right track and Eve and told them to teach their children. And the fullness of the gospel was presented to them. And in obedience, they taught their children. But there's one statement that's very significant in this story. And that is that Satan came among them saying, I too am a son of God. Believe it not. And man believed it not. That is, the descendants of Adam believed it not. And from that time forth, man became carnal, sensual, and devilish. Now we're face to face with all these vicissitudes of life. Evil is here, righteousness is here. Any living soul can be directed in ways of truth and righteousness, if he so desires. Whether he's in the Church of Jesus Christ or whether he isn't. There is one great gift that the Lord has given to every living soul. It's possessed by those who don't belong to the Church. That's the light of Christ, which is given to every man that's born into the world, the light of Christ. And if they will hearken to the whisperings that come to them and the guidance that they may receive through that light, it will lead them to the truth. Now, there's a difference between the light of Christ and the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is only given to those who are baptized for the remission of their sins and have hands laid upon their heads for the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a far greater blessing. But the light of Christ will lead every soul to righteousness, to the keeping of the commandments of the Lord, if they will hearken to it. I think this light is many times spoken of as conscience. What is it that speaks to you when you say your conscience troubles you, or your conscience directs you to do this or that? Maybe when you're tempted to do something that's contrary to that which is right. Well, I would interpret it as the light of Christ that's in you, that gives you that spirit of discernment and understanding so that you can choose the right and avoid the evil if you'll just hearken to it. But how much greater is the light that comes through the gift of the Holy Ghost? And that's the privilege given to every member of this church. by the laying on of hands after baptism. Now I'm going to say something that maybe I couldn't prove, but I believe it's true, that we have a great many members of this church who have never received a manifestation through the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they have not made their lives conform to the truth. And the Holy Ghost will not dwell in unclean tabernacles, where perhaps the light of Christ remains. But the Holy Ghost will not dwell in unclean tabernacles or disobedient tabernacles. The Holy Ghost will not dwell with that person who is unwilling to obey and keep the commandments of God, or who violates those commandments willfully. In such a soul, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, cannot enter. That great gift comes to us only through humility and faith and obedience. Therefore, a great many members of the church don't have that guidance. And then some cunning, crafty individual will come along teaching that which is not true, and without the guidance which is promised to us through our faithfulness, people are unable to discern and are led astray. It depends on our faithfulness and our obedience to the commandments of the Lord if we have the teachings, the enlightening instruction that comes from the Holy Ghost. And when we're disobedient, when our minds are set upon the things of this world rather than the things of the kingdom of God, we cannot have the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever stopped to think what a great privilege it is to us to have the companionship of one of the members of the Godhead? Have you thought of it that way? Well, that's our privilege. If we keep the commandments the Lord has given us. And I have heard occasionally someone say, it's hard to keep the commandments of the Lord. Which? It's not hard if we love the Lord. We can keep His commandments. If we have that love for Him that He manifested for us. And then, temptation, we could set aside. And it's not difficult to walk in the light and understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ If our hearts are right, our spirits are contrite, and we are living in accord with the commandments the Lord has given us, in this our mortal probation. Now I say this is a probationary existence. We're placed here on probation. Now, the people in our land as well as in foreign lands are all going crazy over getting to the moon. Setting up headquarters there. And so forth. I think the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs at our foolishness. He doesn't have to do like he did in the days of the building the Tower of Babel. Come down to take a look. But I think he sits in the heavens and smiles at the foolishness of mortal men. Now, I didn't intend to do this. I didn't intend to say that. But if I've got it, I'm going to read something. And then it's time to quit. I forgot to get the man's name that wrote this. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. I don't wonder what you are. I surmised your spot in space when you left your missile base. Any wondering I do centers on the price of you. And I shudder when I think what you're costing us each wink. Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.